This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, April 26, 2012. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudhokar.
Mount Sequoia Retreat and Conference Center features Music on the Mountain the first Tuesday of every month. Walk-up tickets are available with proceeds to benefit the Restore Clap Auditorium Fund. Food and coffee provided. MountSequoia.org for more information.
On this edition of Ozarks, Stephen Weber from Montanora Estates in Oregon talks about wine tasting and making.
And the local band Cleta Scott Shott will visit KUAF's Furman Garner Performance Studio.
But first, these items of note. Republican Senator John Bozeman says he wants to keep interest rates low for student loans, but believes it's a matter of funding. President Obama began urging Congress last week to act on student loan interest rates that will double July 1st if no action is taken. Bozeman says, as part of the health care bill, the federal government has basically federalized the student loan industry.
What they're doing is they're taking and borrowing the money, you know, from the Federal Reserve. They borrowed a little over 2%, and then the plan is to let students borrow that money a little over 6%, and then they use the difference to help finance Obamacare.
Senator Bozeman claims both Republicans and Democrats are working in good faith, trying to keep interest rates low for students.
Senator Mark Pryor says he's asking the FBI to investigate the claim that the winner of a Girls Gone Wild contest will win an internship in his office. Girls Gone Wild founder Joe Francis announced Tuesday that the winner of the cable reality series The Search for the Hottest Girl in America would win an internship in the Democratic senator's office this summer, among other prizes. Senator Pryor says it seems like a publicity stunt.
It's a hoax. At first, I think you kind of want to chuckle about something like that, but really it's pretty serious. You know, they're saying they've doing all this stuff, and they're going to be interning up here on Capitol Hill, and it's just kind of out of left field, and I really don't have any comment other than say it's a hoax and there's no basis for it.
Senator spokeswoman says the senator's office does not sell nor auction off its internship. The senator's office has asked the FBI to investigate because they believe someone is impersonating the senator and is fraudulently attempting to sell a government position. According to a news release, Francis purchased the internship at a fundraiser auction for a Los Angeles-based temple. An advocate for social justice and a well-known advocate against capital punishment, Sister Helen Prejean, will be on the University of Arkansas campus tonight at 7. She authored Dead Man Walking, an eyewitness account of the death penalty in the United States. Tonight she presents a lecture and will hold a book signing in Old Main's Giffels Auditorium. Sister Prejean has dedicated her life to educating citizens about the death penalty, and she has spent time counseling death row prisoners.
This afternoon, John Brown University in Siloam Springs is announcing the formation of a new College of Business. The university, traditionally an undergraduate four-year residential school, has long felt the need to unify its undergraduate, degree completion, and graduate business programs under a single head, said Dr. Joe Wallenchuk, the Associate Dean for College of Business at JBU.
As John Brown University has continued to grow in complexity of its programs, graduate, undergraduate, traditional, non-traditional, online, there are areas such as business and education that have developed diverse programs for a variety of audiences in different areas. And this is John Brown University's way of coming up with a better way to manage these programs.
The announcement will be made this afternoon at 2:30 p.m. in the Sodaquist Business Center on JBU campus. Refreshments and a reception will follow. Last fall, the school was named the top regional college in the South, according to rankings released in the U.S. News & World Report's America's Best Colleges 2012 edition.
The University of Arkansas will hold its fifth biannual student commemoration service tomorrow evening at 5:30. The ceremony, called a Razorback Remembrance, will honor the lives of students who passed away while studying at the U of A. The event will be hosted in the Multicultural Center on the fourth floor of the Arkansas Union and will include speakers, musical performances, as well as a moment of silence.
Fayetteville Public Schools are being cited as one of the best digital schools in the country. The Digital School District Survey is conducted annually by e.Republic's Center for Digital Education, the National School Boards Association, and ConvergeMag.com. Fayetteville was listed as the second-best school in the mid-size category when it comes to the use of technology to govern the district, communicate with students, parents, and the community, and to improve district operations. Henry City Public Schools in Virginia was the only school district ranked ahead of Fayetteville.
Governor Mike Beebe is declaring that Arkansas flags be flown at half-mast tomorrow in honor of Levon Helm, a native of the state. The musician died earlier this week. The Razorback softball team has come to a walk-off home run at Tulsa yesterday, losing 12-9. The Razorbacks, now 24-22 on the season, will host their final home series of the year against Alabama this weekend, beginning Friday night at 7 at Bogle Park. And the Northwest Arkansas Naturals will go for a four-game sweep of Springfield tonight at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. Yesterday, the Nats beat the Cardinals 10-6. Tonight's first pitch is scheduled for 7. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is the man behind thecitywire.com, Michael Tilley. Michael, how are you this fine day?
I am doing well this morning, very well.
Last Sunday morning, I had two papers delivered to my house, one the Democrat Gazette, one the New York Times, both of them on the front page, of course, had the story about Walmart and alleged bribes in Mexico. This is a big Arkansas business story, to say the least.
Yes, and it is not going away soon. This could drag on for a while, unfortunately for Walmart, and if you're a Walmart shareholder, unfortunately for you. But, you know, what we have apparently is serious allegations, and we just make sure we note that they're just allegations at this point, but, wow, a lot of bribery, up to $24 million that we know about, and this is just what we know about so far. Of deals in which allegedly Eduardo Castro Wright, it's easy for me to say, used a bribery scheme to get their stores open quick. You know, we look back and we just thought he was a miracle worker because he expanded that Mexico operation so fast. And well, sometimes you have to pay for miracles, Kyle.
Well, it's such a multifaceted story because you have the allegations of what happened in Mexico, and then you have the New York Times intrigue about the discussions, internal discussions in Bentonville about what to do with the investigation. And I think you used the proper word when you talked about the Global Foreign Corrupt Practices Act compliance officer. You call it a Herculean job at Walmart now.
Well, it is. I mean, talking about cleaning a large stable, which is exactly one of the things they'll have to do. And Tom Jean, this Fort Smith native, by the way, swimmer, I learned. I didn't realize he was captain of the UA swim team when he was there. But anyway, he's going to have to swim through a lot of mess now to get to the bottom of this. And here's the other thing, Kyle. We have a couple of things. You said it was multifaceted, and man, are you on target. This is going to hit Walmart from a lot of angles. Obviously, there's the financial angle and the legal angle. There may be some heads roll, some top-level folks no longer on the board. There could be civil or criminal penalties. I mean, we don't know. This has a lot of options, but here's primarily one of the options, and I don't mean to discount the legal part of this, but the retail industry, the retail sector now is, and has been for some time, but it's really going through an evolution, even more so lately. I mean, we've seen what happened to Best Buy and a few other retailers who are saying, you know, we have too much physical space. We need to focus more on our online. And Walmart has worked that very well through their Walmart labs, their e-commerce sites. They've really stayed ahead, to their credit, of the where commerce is going, what consumers want, how consumers want to buy, how they want to look at products. You have to wonder if this is going to take their eye off that ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, this could. I just don't see how, as a management team, you continue to be aggressive, do the right things on your retail side, on your business side, and manage something this magnitude. So that's going to be their challenge, and I think that's one of the things we're trying to write about here at the CityWire, but that's the story that's not been out there yet.
And again, keeping in mind these are allegations, but there's been a PR hit here as well.
Yes, there's been a PR hit. And, you know, when this first broke, I thought, well, you know, here we go. They're after Walmart, because Walmart gets hit with everything. You know, there's the Betty Dukes, case. The unions are always after them. I mean, you know, child labor issues, they're always getting hits, and they always survive. When I saw the press release that Walmart pushed out, that lengthy press release, along with the video of David Tovar, Walmart spokesman, man, it sent the signal to me that this is serious. Walmart's taking this very serious, and it sent a signal to me that they're scared of this. And I know that's not fancy technical language, but I think they are scared of this.
Well, there was other news this week besides the fallout from the Walmart story in the New York Times, including home sales reports.
Right. Well, in some good news, yeah, let's shift to some good news. With the Arkansas home sales report, it's a report we do at the CityWire. Westark Plumbing here helps us sponsor that. We captured data from 14 of Arkansas's most populated counties, and that represents between 70 and 75% of total Arkansas home sales. And what we have seen, what the numbers show us during the first quarter of 2012, is that home sales combined in those areas totaled a little over 3,600, actually closer to 3,700, which was above the same quarter of 2011. So there's good news there. Home sales are returning. We're seeing a good trend. Home sale prices are also ticking up or remaining stable. So in the central Arkansas area, there were home sale gains and price stabilization. Same for the Fort Smith area. Same for northwest Arkansas. Jonesboro was the only area that saw a dip in the number of home sales, but that was very slight. So far, so good on the home front. And one of the things, a little bit back to Walmart, one of the things that's helping in northwest Arkansas is Walmart has, over the course of the past 6 months or so, they've been returning a lot of their fashion folks, the apparel folks from offices in New York and other places, been returning those to the Benton County area.
Some good news also this week for the Fort Smith Convention Center.
Right. Who would have thunk it? We're, I guess, 6 months or so away from the nasty little episode we had with the 1% prepared food tax here. And yes, the finances are improving at the Fort Smith Convention Center. And, you know, the city change management recently, you know, the Fort Smith A&P managed it, which is how it should have been conducted beginning, you know, back in 2000. But we're seeing a trend that could place revenues for the convention center up over $700,000 for this year, which could be anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000 more than the highest number set back in 2010. I know a lot of your listeners may be thinking $25,000, but that's not a big deal. But the black eye that the city has taken over the management of the convention center, and for the Fort Smith A&P to come in just a short period of time and begin to bring in more events, turn the revenues around, it's impressive. I have to say I'm impressed. I had doubts as to their ability to manage that, but so far they've done well.
And finally, I got to ask you, you're about a month into now to your television endeavor with KFSM Television. How's that going?
I think it's going well. You're a part of that also. How do you think it's going?
Well, I think it's going well. I really wince seeing myself on TV, but...
Yeah, I've always said I had the perfect face for the newspaper business. Here I am on a dang TV show, so I don't... that was a moment of weakness, I think, when I agreed to that. But no, it's doing well. Channel 5, Darren's a great host. He's a great partner. Helps with that. And we'll have some political interviews this weekend, and you will have a good interview with the Artisphere folks, I understand.
That's correct, talking about trail mix. Absolutely.
Perfect.
All right, well, I will see you on TV. And until then, thanks, Mike.
All right, you're welcome.
Michael Tilley is the editor and the man behind thecitywire.com.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, we preview the 2012 Eureka Springs Blues Weekend that happens May 31st through June 3rd. Over 30 acts, including the Cape Brothers, Lazy Lester, Michael Burks, Kenny Neal, and headliners Tommy Castro and Ruthie Foster. In addition to the Blues Weekend is a Blues Picnic on Sunday at Turpentine Creek Wildlife Refuge. That's Friday night at 9 o'clock on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. We have a wide variety of interviews in our studios over the course of a month. Sometimes our guests bring something with them to help with the discussion. Earlier this week, Stephen Weber from Montanora Estates, a winery near Portland, Oregon, had his hands full.
I've actually brought in three wines, which I think are going to show very nicely for obviously ourselves today, and hopefully we can relay that experience to our listeners.
He had with him a 2010 Borealis blend, a white wine he had been in charge of, a 2011 Pinot Rosé, and a 2008 Pinot Noir. Stephen was in town to discuss the Montenor label at a dinner at Greenhouse Grill and tastings at some local wine retailers. Montenor Estates has become known in wine circles for its commitment to a sustainable approach to making wine from the vineyards and beyond. Before we reach for the corkscrew to taste the wine he brought in, I asked him about the process of biodynamic winemaking, something he calls a responsible stewardship of the land.
The responsibility or responsible manner in which the fruit is grown. You know, we, for example, now at Montenor, we don't use any organic. We don't use any synthetic fertilizers or spray treatments, and I think it produces wines with really nice structure and body, great structure and body, and allows the fruit character to really come through. So, but I think overall, it's really about being responsible and helping our customers learn about that method and how it can. It's basically sending a message to our customers, present and future, that we're very genuine in our intentions and we're trying to create a very pleasurable wine drinking experience for them.
Is it harder to make a quality wine that way?
I think overall probably it is harder, yes, but it's really about the attention to detail all the time, and it's just being a little bit more thoughtful, both out in the vineyard and in the winery. It's about really not to necessarily following like a recipe style grape growing formula or a recipe style winemaking formula. It's about really looking at the ferments as individual bodies, if you like, and kind of listening to what the ferments are telling you or listening to what the grapes are telling you. So one block might be just fine, so perhaps leave that alone and don't take any action on that at a particular time or a particular ferment at a particular time. Another ferment might be screaming out for something. It's about, you know, really just being on the ball with looking at everything as an individual and then trying to collectively bring it together, obviously, in the winery and to put the finished product into bottles. So,
Stephen Weber says Montenor Estates has been practicing the sustainable winemaking for the past 8 years. Stephen himself has been interested in the art and science of creating wine since he was in his late teens in his native England. He studied the craft in Australia and has since begun his work in Oregon. He specializes in overseeing the white wines created at Montenor. From the grapes on the vine to the wine in the barrels, any one of many decisions he makes can have an effect on the finished product. Stephen says it takes experience to know when to do something and especially when not to. Of course, knowing if the right formula of decisions was made might not be known for years.
Yeah, the true reality can never be of your decision can never be shown fully until obviously it's the wine's in bottle. But then, of course, the wine continues to develop in bottle over many years in some circumstances. And sometimes you get it right and sometimes absolutely right and sometimes you get it a little bit wrong, and hopefully you never get it absolutely wrong. But it's tough. It's tough, and I think the only benefit that you can draw from sometimes is that, you know, if you do something and it doesn't quite work out as you anticipated, perhaps 2 months, 4 months, a year down the line, then the nice thing is that every new vintage that comes along, you've got like a clean slate. And if you're smart, you'll go back to your previous vintages, your previous mistakes, if you've made mistakes or things you could have done better. And of course, you know, you really want to always try and do better. So then you can improve on those, go with those notes and start a new slate with a fresh batch of fruit and hopefully try and make sure you don't make the same mistake again if there was one made. So
Stephen Weber brought along a bottle of a vintage he cared for from beginning to end, the aforementioned Borealis blend. After pouring, he gave the glass a vigorous swirl to release the aromatics, notes of melon, papaya, and citrus.
Got some lightness to it. It's got some nice liveliness. I mean, the Borealis is not a very, you know, hugely alcoholic wine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about 11.5% alcohol. So again, that's all to do with the balance, again, with the relationship between the sugar and acidity in the wine, obviously the fruit character and then the alcohol and how it feels in your mouth and how it finishes is very important. So I think, you know, the finish on this wine is lovely because it finishes really nice. It starts off just with that little hint of sweetness, opens up in the mouth and then finishes really nice, crisp and dry.
You mentioned a hint of papaya.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I got the answer to that, actually.
Okay.
But yeah, it's amazing, actually, what wine grapes can really give out. Sometimes at the time of harvest, when you actually taste the fruit, sometimes you get some really vivacious flavors. For example, in Gewürztraminer, you can really get some spicy aromatic flavors actually in the fruit, primarily from the fact, for example, with Gewürztraminer that, you get a lot of flavors in the skins. But not in all wine grapes. And so, for example, Pinot Gris, you don't always get an awful lot from the grape at the time of harvest. But during fermentation, an awful lot of esters are developed. A lot of flavors start to come out that you never really would have imagined were there. And then come the end point when we're talking about putting a tasty note together for the given wine, a lot of changes have happened in the wine, and a lot of changes are still going to take place in bottle. And it's a very interesting time when we can construct a tasting note, and all manner of flavors that really never would have thought could be possible in a wine are actually there.
Wow.
Particularly with the Borealis, it should be noted that, we've got four different grape varieties here.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've got Müller-Thurgau, Pinot Gris, Riesling, and Gewürztraminer. So you've got an awful lot of dynamic going on between those four varieties, which is really neat in terms of the final product and what fruit flavors are going to glean from that.
When you taste something that you worked with for a long time, can you go back and think about that very vintage that year?
I can, yes. Yeah, I can truly only say that as a winemaker. I'm prior to 2009 at Montenor Estate, I was assistant winemaker. And when you're assistant, you're close in on the action, but you're not quite, you're not making the lead decisions, and things don't commit to memory quite so well. But I can assure you, as a winemaker, everything commits to memory like glue.
So, really?
Yeah, it's true.
So if you're taking tasting a 2009 that you helped escort to this point, you can think, oh, that's the one that I waited that extra day to do that.
I can almost go back that far. Yeah,
wow.
I mean, I think a lot of it is again because of the fact that it's working at a hands-on winery and again making all the decisions for that wine. It's in your head all the time. I can't say I sleep on, I eat, drink, and sleep wine kind of thing. But I'll be honest, I do a lot of nighttime thinking about my work. Which annoys my wife a great deal, of course. I think for the conscientious winemaker, it does. It really kind of sticks to memory.
Stephen Weber is a white winemaker with Montenor Estates near Portland, Oregon. He was in Northwest Arkansas this week to discuss his wines and host a few tastings with retailers. He did bring more than one kind of wine when he visited our studio. Well, can we try something else?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's have a look at our rosé next.
To hear what he has to say about that wine and more about his thoughts on the world of wine, you can go to our website, ozarksatlarge.com, and look for the audio extra associated with this story. This is Ozarks at Large. It's Thursday, April 26, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri Matulkar.
And with us, Becca Martin Brown, who is the features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Can I steal 30 seconds to be ornery?
I'm shocked that you're asking.
Well, since I'm not here on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and since I'd like people to have time to harass him, Dan Martin,
mm-hmm.
my former husband and dear friend, mm-hmm. has one of those milestone birthdays Saturday.
Has a zero at the end?
It has a zero at the end. And if you know him, please make the most of this opportunity. Now, moving on. Conversations for Kids at 6 o'clock at the Rogers Public Library with Bruce Hale, the author of the Czech Gecko Mystery Series and the Underwear, that's spelled W-H-E-R-E series.
Okay.
For grades 3 through 5. Mm-hmm. Casablanca is showing tonight.
You were going?
Boy, I really want to.
That doesn't sound very promising.
Well, I'm
triple booked.
Well, tomorrow I'm leaving for a trip to New Orleans.
Oh.
So I don't know if I'm going to have time.
I don't know if you're leaving for a trip to New Orleans. It depends on whether you get out of here alive. This is the 70th anniversary event for the classic film. It's at the Fayetteville Razorback Cinema and Fort Smith Cinema at 7. Tickets are $12.50.
I've never seen it on the big screen. It's one of my two favorite movies ever, and I've never seen it on the big screen.
Would be glorious. Mm-hmm. The UA Tuba and Euphonium Ensemble plays at 7:30 at the Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall at the University in Fayetteville. It is free. There's a spring concert with the Fort Smith Chorale tonight at 7:30 at First Baptist Church in Fort Smith. It's $15. And Hayes Carl plays tonight at George's Majestic Lounge. Showtime's 9 o'clock, and tickets are $15.
Always a good time.
You love him, don't you?
I do.
Okay, so there's your recommendations.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is the Features Editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. The three men in the band Cletus Got Shot pour a lot of energy into their shows and a lot of passion into their songs.
Well, if you are the grave digger, who's gonna dig your grave? Well, if you are the grave digger, who's gonna dig your grave? Well, sit down your beer, listen clear to the question for your ears. Well, have you lost your job? Are you broken down?
Cletus Got Shot is Nathan Miller on mandolin and backup vocals, Mark Landry, stand-up bass, gas tank bass, homemade bass, and backup vocals, and Adam Cox, guitar and usually lead vocals. Tomorrow night at the UARC Bowl on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, Cletus Got Shot will celebrate the release of their brand new double disc CD, 24 songs. The name of the CD is Drinking Songs for the Working Class with Cletus Got Shot. Earlier this week, Adam, Mark, and Nathan came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to talk about the new CD and their history with music. I began the conversation by asking, with 24 songs on the new CD, had they gone through a particularly prolific songwriting stage?
No, we've been promising for 2 years.
That's true. We didn't come up with an album last year, so we felt obligated to put out extra this time around. So
we went ahead and recorded. We had a back catalog of songs that weren't appropriate for the previous album and needed to be recorded and used at some point. We performed them for a long time. That's why it ended up being a double disc, and it's working songs on one side and drinking songs on the other disc, because a lot of those are just like bar songs and favorites we played for a long time and never really recorded, and we're not in a hurry to record before, but now we're like, we might as well record these. These are finished songs that we've played for a long time.
Song from the new CD, it's titled Congressman, certainly has a populist feel, and that's nothing new for songs written by Adam Cox and Cletus Got Shot. In fact, an accompanying songbook is called Modern Labor Songs from Cletus Got Shot, a working class band. In an introduction to the song lyrics in the book, Cletus Got Shot, the band, writes that they sing working class songs for working class folks, and that if you have a job, you got to work to put food on the table, you're working class.
Sometimes there's like things get blended together so much so that people feel like they're not really part of the working class because they don't have a blue collar job. But in reality, you know, working class implies working, you know, and you know, whether you have, you know, a pretty cushioned job with benefits and whatever, and you're making, you know, middle class wages, you're still part of the working class, you know, whether you're poor or doing okay, you're still involved in it. Whether you're working on computers or swinging a hammer, it's all the same, you know. Some of us are just better at one than the other.
While Adam writes most of the songs for Cletus Got Shot, Mark Landry has two on the new CD, including something that is somewhat semi-biographical, titled Preacher's Son.
I was raised in church. My father was a Baptist minister when I was growing up. And as I grew up, I remember they were attending more liberalized churches, and they were going to like some of the more open Bible churches. But music was always a huge part of those churches. So from my earliest memory, it was always gospel music. It was always like church music, but it was never uptight, you know, strict hymns. It was always more fun to sing. So I played music almost exclusively in church until I was out of high school. And so, like, my entire background is in that.
My father was a preaching man, but I'm no father's son. There's no glory land for me.
Nathan, when did you start playing the mandolin?
I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago, something like that.
Was it the first instrument you...
No.
No?
No. Not by far.
What?
Played fiddle, bass... some guitar. I mean, you know,
if it's got strings.
Nathan actually has a pretty awesome background because his family is kind of big in the Goshen Mayfield area and involved a lot in the music, the local music out there, which is a lot of the Ozark traditional music. His mother can play a bajillion different songs, knows a bajillion different songs. It's pretty impressive to watch her. Go at it, but and just the whole family, really. It's a lot of fun, but
yeah, I was lucky that way.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. You know,
playing music's kind of just what you did. You know?
Well, it ain't no easy life working for a price that never gets you out of debt. Well, it only makes you fret. Singing low, singing low, singing high. Well, tomorrow is another day, but I'm singing just the same.
Mark Landry was introduced to music in a church setting. Nathan Miller was introduced to music through his family. Adam Cox, the third member of Cletus Got Shot, had a combination of the two.
Well, I grew up, my dad was a prison minister in the state of Oklahoma. And so, you know, four or five times a week we'd go to different prisons and perform basically church services. You know, I mean, they were church services. It was under the mask of what he came up with, A&V, Alcohol, Narcotics, Victorious. But in reality, they were just church services. So, you know, so you'd have like an auditorium full of inmates, women's prisons, men prisons, whatever. And and so my mom would play piano. If there was a drum set there, my brother would play drums. I played tambourine till my leg was sore. The first song that I ever wrote was at the women's maximum security penitentiary in Oklahoma. On our way to the service that night, my mom had gotten me a little tiny pocket harmonica. It was like a keychain thing, you know. My brother had taught me how to play the blues riff, you know. So, you know, I'm going to, here I am, I don't know, maybe 8 years old or something, and I'm in the van going, da 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 da. I was a druggie, da 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 da. Got thrown in prison, da 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 da. And then I got saved, da 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 da. Oh Lord, you know. And
why isn't that on the album?
It's all right.
You've been holding out on us. The Women's Penitentiary Blues. My 8 year old.
So when we get to the prison that night, Dad. You know, because there's normally a part of the service where Dad would say, does anybody have a song? And somebody would stand up and sing a song or something like that. And Dad says during that time period, well, my son has a song he'd like to sing to you. And there was about 200 women in the auditorium probably. And so he says, come on up here. So I went up and I sat on the edge of the stage and everybody listened so quietly and intently, you know. And so I sang the song, da, 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 I was a druggie, you know, and it probably lasted 10 minutes, the poor women. But, you know, they loved it. A lot of those women didn't have, or, you know, they had families and kids outside of prison that they didn't really get to see anymore. So, you know, that was a big thing for a lot of them, just to see a kid and to be able to hug a kid's neck. And some, I mean, that made people's day.
Adam Cox, Nathan Miller, and Mark Landry are the band Cletus Got Shot. Their brand new CD is titled Drinking Songs for the Working Class. It includes 24 songs recorded at Insomniac Studios in Fayetteville. They'll celebrate the release of the CD with an all-ages show Friday night beginning at 7 at the UARC Bowl. Also on the bill that night, Threepenny Acre and Adam Lee and the Dead Horse Sound Company. I talked with Mark, Nathan, and Adam this week in the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF.
This cold is creeping in to myself once again. Two more years of winter before I go. Well, I wish I had a whiskey for my soul. Well, I dream at night of being free on the banks of an open sea. If you ask me, I tell you true.
It is Thursday, the 25th day of April, 26th day of April, 2012. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri-Matolke.
With us is one of the busiest people in Northwest Arkansas, Jody Beznoska, who is Vice President of Communications at Walton Arts Center.
But I'm sitting with two of the other busiest people in Northwest Arkansas.
No, just Kyle.
Just Kyle. Just
no,
Kyle.
I'm going to tell you that I think
I would be busy if he would, you know, pass on some work to me.
I think we have thousands of busiest people in Northwest
Unbelievable.
Arkansas this month.
It's an incredible month.
It is.
My gosh. So
you guys
much
are contributing.
Going on. Oh, yeah, we are. We're guilty. Guilty as charged.
And you're going to keep it going into May with Artisphere.
Oh, my.
But
yes.
Before that.
Yes, we are. Wow. Yeah, I can't really believe at the list I'm looking at right now for the next 2 weeks. It's fairly fantastic, but very, very busy. So let's just start right off with what's been going on for a little while. We've had Fall of the House with Theater Squared.
Right.
Fantastic show. Fantastic show. I know that I say this all the time. I mean it. It's a really, really good show. It runs through the 6th of May. It's written by Bob Ford, T2's artistic director, and it's incredibly well done. Really, really good one. I recommend it. It's the last show of T2's season this year.
Do you know if there are tickets left for the last weekend? Because that's what I'm kind of banking on being able to see it.
I believe that there are.
Yeah. Okay.
So it runs through the 6th, which, believe it or not, is only next weekend.
Right.
Crazy. So that that is running tonight and through the weekend. And then also tonight we will have a bourbon tasting at Walton Arts Center. That is a it's part of our sort of run-up to our Art of Wine Festival. Bourbon, wine, those work.
Right.
That's tonight. And tomorrow night we will have Glenn Campbell in the house.
Yeah, first of two nights, right?
First of two performances, the 27th tomorrow night and the 28th on Saturday. There are still tickets for the Saturday performance.
Okay.
So if anybody out there missed it, you can still get in.
And this is the farewell tour.
It is the goodbye tour.
Yeah.
And it's really, really exciting. It was neat. The governor sent a letter to Mr. Campbell and talked about his life and how he was so much more than his music, how he, you know, for so long he sort of contributed to the whole fabric of music.
It's going to be a special night,
yeah.
Those two nights inside Walton Arts Center. It really is.
It really is. It's going to be exciting. That's the 27th and the 28th. Both of those shows are at 8 p.m. That's in the main hall at Baumwalker Hall. Also on the 28th, out at the Amp, we'll have Hank Williams Jr. Mm-hmm. And a heads up to anyone who's going to that show is not under the tent. So,
and that's because of some of the staging and the rigging.
Yeah, the stage is too big.
Yeah, okay.
So they needed a bigger stage for Hank Williams Jr. And so it's not under the tent. So recommend bringing, you know, blankets and, you know, if there's a threat of rain, perhaps a poncho would be valuable.
Right.
But that's on the 28th, also out at the Amp. On the 29th, we will have Listen to Your Mother, a locally produced show that I actually don't know very much about. Do you guys?
I think they'll be telling stories.
Yeah,
local mothers.
And we're going to have some of them in the studio. You'll hear part of that on Friday's.
Oh, great!
Tomorrow's Ozarks at Large.
Great! I've heard a lot of Twitter chatter about it. So hopefully it will be a lot of fun. Yeah. That's on the 29th. Also that weekend, the 29th, 30th, 1st, and 2nd, the University of Arkansas Music Department will have all kinds of concerts. And then on the 3rd of May, which is, believe it or not, a week from today, that is our kickoff for Artisphere 2012.
Right.
So excited about this. Feels like we've been waiting for this forever. The kickoff is a really fun event that is mostly free. Mm-hmm. They're beginning at about 5 o'clock. We'll have a farmer's market out on the plaza. We will have a new exhibition going up in the Joy Pratt Markham Gallery that will open. And so our curator will be there and will lead gallery talks and remarks about the exhibition. We'll have live music with Threepenny Acre and with April Virch, who is a Canadian fiddler extraordinaire. And all of that will go on for free, and we'll be kicking off Artisphere, which is our Arts and Nature Festival. And then the headliner that night is Mr. Michael Pollan.
Looking forward to this.
Very excited for this. Michael Pollan wrote In Defense of Food, The Omnivore's Dilemma, Food Rules. He's a journalist and a professor. And
you can see him some on TED.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to TED, you can see him
on
talk
TED
there.
Talks, yeah.
Right?
And just a very interesting man who writes about food.
In an approachable manner.
Absolutely.
He does not finger wag.
No, he's a really, really neat guy. And his books are very, I think approachable is a great word.
Yeah.
It doesn't overwhelm you with, you know, with too much, I don't know, drama or stress. It's just very practical. Been really, really fun for us at Walton Arts Center to learn about him and get ready for him. So it's a kind of a feather in the cap for us to have him in the community. Very excited for that. That's on the 3rd. Tickets are available for that. And there are tickets left. So please get them, if you will. The following night, we will go out to Bentonville First Friday. That's the 4th. And we will have April Birch out there again. She'll be playing out there. And we'll also be having Daleen Vincent. Very exciting, award-winning bluegrass duo. Very excited for that. That's at First Friday up in Bentonville. And then the following day, things will really get hectic. We will begin the Trail Mix weekend. Trail Mix, do you guys, have we talked about this?
Well, you and I haven't.
A little bit.
Yeah, Robert Ginsburg and I talk about it next week, even though I'll be on vacation. We recorded the conversation earlier, and that will air on an episode next week.
Trail Mix, one of the coolest ideas. I wish I could remember whose idea it was, because whoever they were, they're a genius. But basically, we have these fantastic trails here. And we have them in Fayetteville, and now with Crystal Bridges opening, we have them up there with, you know, the beautiful bike trails and the trails that run through the grounds. So Trail Mix will take six or seven different bands, some local, some national, some international, and place them at different locations along the various trails. So on Saturday, we'll be in Bentonville.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we will be up along the Crystal Bridges Trail, so you'll be able to walk around all the beautiful landscaping. I was just there. It's gorgeous. And hear bands just, you know, in random places spread throughout the grounds. So exciting. And then on Sunday, it'll be the 3rd year in a row that we do this in Fayetteville along the Lake Fayetteville biking trails.
Nice.
And again, it's two very different experiences. The one at Crystal Bridges, I think you'll be winding through the woods quite a bit. The one at Fayetteville is sort of a straight shot. You can bike out and bike back and hear the different bands. All of this is free. Begins at 1 o'clock on both Saturday and Sunday. And then on Sunday, following the concert, we will have a free concert out at Botanical Garden of the Ozarks, a great kids' family band called Milkshake. They sing about everything about being a kid, but they have a nice environmental message, so that's one of the reasons we have them as part of Artisphere.
One of the bands that will be at both days of Artisphere is the Pine Leaf Boys, and I'm going to see them Saturday afternoon in New Orleans at Jazz Fest.
Oh, my
gosh. I'm going to go up to him
That's
afterward and say, hey, we're looking for you.
That is
looking
so
forward
cool.
to seeing you next week,
that
the weekend after.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be a nice mix of music. There'll be jazz, bluegrass, Celtic.
Old 78s.
Old 78s.
We'll be there.
Trio de Janeiro.
Right. So a couple of local bands.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
It's going to be fantastic. Cross your fingers for good weather.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good.
I know.
Looking good.
Yes.
But that is next weekend on the 5th and the 6th. Crazy busy weekend, but so much fun. And really the kickoff for this almost 2-month-long Arts and Nature Festival that we'll be putting on throughout the region. Then we'll flip right over, and on the 7th, which is a Monday, we'll have one show of the Beatles tribute show called Rain.
That fits into Artisphere, right?
Yeah,
Rain?
I think so.
I'm
going to
give
so.
It to you. Yeah.
I think so. Super fun show that we had 2 or 3 years ago. Only one performance. That was all we could get. A few tickets left for that one, so if you want to come, get them now. And then we'll have a couple shows out at the Amp that week, and then Artist Fair will continue through the, I don't know, maybe the 19th or the 20th of May, and then we'll take a little bit of a break, and then Artist Fair will kick up again in June.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
See? Yeah. I told you, she's busy.
Yeah.
She is.
And if you're in downtown Fayetteville today and you're walking by Walton Arts Center and you're wearing a hat, you might just tip it, because today is the 20th, well, we've spent a lot of time trying to figure out when our actual official birthday is at Walton Arts Center, because we know this is our 20th anniversary time right now. And what we've learned is that back in 1992, from the 24th of April to the 26th, was a preview event. Big
open
preview
to the community.
Event. Open to the
I
community.
Remember that.
Everybody was there. And so today, the 26th, I believe, right, is the last day of that. So celebrating our 20th anniversary.
Happy
with
anniversary.
No kidding. With kids.
I have a Walton Arts Center hard hat.
Yeah.
From the groundbreaking.
That's so cool.
Nice.
I'll
doff that.
Yeah, there
okay.
we go.
Oh, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah. Right. So it's very, very fun, very exciting to think that we've, you know, been doing this for 20 years, and just when you think about everything happening over the next few days, it's such a great sort of summation of everything that has gone on. So thanks to everybody who's supported us.
Thank you, Jody.
Thank you,
Jody. Jody Biznoska is the Vice President of Communication at Walton Arts Center.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Iti Agnihotri Mudhokar.
Here's the deal. Today we have things to give away, which is not uncommon.
A lot of things to give away.
Well, it's earlier, not too long ago, you heard my story with Cletus Got Shot. Mm-hmm. Their CD release party is Friday night, all ages, York Bowl. We have three packages here of Cletus Got Shot stuff. The brand new double disc CD with 24 songs.
Mm-hmm.
The Cletus Got Shot songbook,
which is very cool.
Includes lyrics from the songs on this CD as well as previous CDs, and two tickets to the York Bowl performance, which also includes Three Penny Acre. And
and this is when?
This is Friday night.
Okay, so tomorrow night.
So CD, booklet, tickets, two tickets each. And I want to make sure it's Cletus Got Shot fans that win these. So what are we going to do? No question. If you want the Cletus Got Shot package, if you want to be one of the three people that wins, call in during Writer's Almanac.
The number to call is 1-800-522-5823. That's 1-800-522-KUAF.
And what we'll do is we'll pick three names out of the ceramic cow of all the people that call in if you want the Cletus Got Shot package. So best of luck.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's the 26th of April, 2012. It's the birthday of the man who said, "The truth springs from arguments among friends." He also said, "The life of man is of no greater importance to the universe than that of an oyster." The philosopher David Hume, born Edinburgh, Scotland, 1711. He was a librarian. He wrote a 6-volume History of England. It was a bestseller, gave him the independence to write philosophy. He wrote A Treatise of Human Nature, Inquiries Concerning Human Understanding. He was a strict skeptic, questioned all knowledge derived from the senses. He said, "Beauty is no quality in things themselves. It exists merely in the mind which contemplates them, and each mind perceives a different beauty." David Hume said, "Reading and sauntering and lounging and dozing, which I call thinking, is my supreme happiness. He is happy whose circumstances suit his temper, but he is more excellent who can suit his temper to his circumstance." It's the birthday of another famous philosopher, Ludwig Wittgenstein, born Vienna, 1889, whose colleague Bertrand Russell described him as a true genius, passionate, profound, intense, and dominating. He was the youngest in a very wealthy family of 9 children, 3 of whom committed suicide. Wittgenstein said that the study of philosophy rescued him from years of loneliness and wanting to die. He was particularly interested in language. He wrote, "The limits of my language are the limits of my mind. All I know is what I have words for." It's the birthday of Audubon, John James Audubon, born Haiti, 1785, to a French naval officer and plantation owner, and a Creole chambermaid. He grew up in France. From his early childhood, he loved birds, headed to America when he was 18 to escape the Napoleonic Wars. He was fascinated by all the new American birds he saw, began to study them. He banded birds to study their migration. He fell in love with a woman named Lucy Bakewell. He married her, opened a general store in Kentucky on the Ohio River. He wasn't good at business, so he was thrown into prison for debt, and that was when he set out on a quest to catalog and draw every bird in North America. Traveled from New Orleans to the Everglades, from Niagara Falls, the Great Lakes, to Newfoundland, down the Mississippi, all the way to Texas, and published his masterpiece, Birds of America, with 435 life-sized, hand-colored pictures. And it's the birthday of the man who said, "Write your heart out," Bernard Malamud, born in Brooklyn, 1914. Grew up poor in the Depression. Parents ran a grocery store. Family lived above the store, which was open 16 hours a day. Malamud taught out in Oregon at Oregon State, where he wrote some of his best-known novels, The Natural, The Assistant, and The Magic Barrel. Here's a poem for today by Ted Kooser, Spring Plowing. West of Omaha, the freshly plowed fields steam in the night like lakes. The smell of the earth floods over the roads. The field mice are moving their nests to the higher ground of fence rows, the old among them crying out to the owls to take them all. The paths in the grass are loud with the squeak of their carts. They keep their lanterns covered. Ted Kooser's poem Spring Plowing from Flying at Night, published by University of Pittsburgh Press, used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation. You can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org. Produced by Kathy Roach and Nick Vetter. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And well, there's no answer.
There is no answer.
You just had to call in, and so we'll put the names in the ceramic cow, and then we'll pull them, and shortly after,
I will give you a call soon.
There you go. Theater Squared Season 6 concludes with The Fall of the House, playing now through May 6th at Walton Art Center's Nadine Baum Studio. In this mystery, spanning two centuries, T2 Artistic Director Robert Ford explores the desperate bargains we make for love. Tickets and more information for The Fall of the House available at theater2.org or 443-5600. Mount Sequoia Retreat and Conference Center features Music on the Mountain the first Tuesday of every month. May welcomes Bruce Allen and friends on Tuesday the 1st at 7 p.m. Walk-up tickets are available with proceeds to benefit the Restore Clap Auditorium Fund. Food and coffee provided. MountSequoia.org for more information.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Springdale, Rogers, Tontytown.
Oh.
A listener-supported service of the University of Arkansas J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences, pursuing peace through education at arkansas.edu/Fulbright.
Antoinette Grajeda will join me tomorrow for a brand new edition of Ozarks at Large.
That's right.
You're going to, I guess, be by yourself on Sunday.
That's right.
And then I'm going to take some time off.
Where are you going, Kyle?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
Why?
Jazz Fest.
For how many days?
A couple. Okay. A couple. Okay. And then just going to stay out of the
building. This is just a short interview, just to let our listeners know.
Right. You'll still hear me because I'm producing some things ahead of time, but I'm not going to be hosting for the next week.
Right.
And if you hear someone in the distance yelling Bruce on Sunday, it will be me. Thank you, Ify.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Ity Agnihotri-Mathoka.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Thanks for listening.